the name of God, the merciful, the compassionate. Hello and welcome to Pure Home with me, Sahar Hatchin. Well, before we begin, we'd like to extend our condolences to all of our viewers on the commencement of the holy month of Muharram, which in this month is the third day of Muharram. And in this month, Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, and his household go through the tribulations of Karbala. Now, in today's program, we'll be speaking about children again, the upbringing of children, which seems to be a never-ending discussion. And of course, we'll have our other segments to the program, so you'll definitely want to stay tuned. Back to the program. Well, we're honored to have Dr. Sayyid Javed Mazlumi here with us, who is an Islamic scholar, to help us better understand raising children. And in this discussion today, we'll be speaking more about friends, as we did in our last discussion with Dr. Mazlumi. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the program.
Alaikum assalam.
So you have been missing from our programs. You haven't been around for quite a bit. You've been on a trip, we hear. So
yes.
What's that all about? Where have you been?
Yes, alhamdulillah, I was on pilgrimage, and it was my chance this year to be with the other people in circling around the Kaaba.
Wow, beautiful. Tell us a little bit about your experiences before we get back to our discussion about children. A little bit about your experiences, because we all want to know about the holy pilgrimage to Mecca and what that feels like.
I think pilgrimage is a really unique opportunity to have an experience, a spiritual experience. It is not just a travel that, and a trip that you say, I want to go to such a place or such a city just. No, it is, I think, a spiritual experience. And there are, you will live some very special type of lifestyle, and there you can have some experience about the hereafter. Mm-hmm. It is very nice that when you change your clothes to Ihram clothes and begin Ihram stays, you are wearing just special clothes which will remind you about the what you will have after your death. Mm-hmm. And it will happen there. There will be, for example, this year we have more than 3.5 million of people there.
Wow.
So it is something like gathering in the hereafter. Mm-hmm. And you will be judged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there I think you will show that everything in your life will be around the polarities Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you will have all of your circling, all of your movements toward the Kaaba and from the Kaaba. So I hope every person who wish to have such experience to have it, and inshallah Allah accept all of us worships.
Inshallah. It's so nice to hear. I mean, we hear a lot about the rituals from afar, but it's so, I'm sure it's quite different when you're in that position, and when you're in that place, it must feel like something out of this world, far beyond, like you said, somewhat heavenly. So
It is, I think it is, cannot be considered with any other trip. Mm-hmm. Any other trip. It is not just, even like ziyara. It is not like that, because in ziyara you will choose the time, you will have your actions. There is not obligatory thing there. Mm-hmm. You want to go to Karbala even,
right,
and it is up to you. And let me now offer my condolence for the Muharram, the holy month of Muharram, which belongs to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And you want to go to Karbala, it is up to you when you want to go, it is up to you, and how many times you want to go to Haram, holy shrine, or even you cannot attend there for a long time, it is up to you. Everything is up to you. There are just recommended rituals.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go to Hajj, everything is in detail, in most specific detail, is designed and on a schedule by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says when, where, how. Everything is in detail considered. So you should be there at this time, at this place, and you should do such rituals. So it makes a society for Muslims, all of the Muslims from all around the world gathered there, and all of them have the same goal, the same rituals, and I think it is filled by some spiritual feeling. Every person understand it and experience it, although you cannot describe it, but you will feel it surely, and every person fortunately have this feeling. I hope you have, and all of audiences have the same experience there, inshallah.
Well, we pray on this special day in this holy month of Muharram that we will have that experience, inshallah, be blessed with the opportunity to go to the pilgrimage to Mecca. Okay, so Dr. Mazlumi, let's shift our attention back to our discussion about friends. And just to remind our viewers, we did speak about the indirect control we need to have on our children and their relationship with their friends. So what we want to know is, we said we should have control, and we told that we know our children's friends. And what are the signs of a correct and sufficient knowledge in this respect?
As you mentioned, that we talk about the indirect controlling your children's friends, and we talk about that you need to know your children and to know their friends as well. And I think there are some good questions. If you can answer them about your children, it shows that you know them. And if unfortunately you don't have enough knowledge, it shows that you are in lack of knowledge about your children and about their friends. We talk about the knowing your children. I said some questions at our last session, and I talk about the knowing them, knowing their life, knowing their interests, their goals, their time there, because this time differs with our childhood time. So we talked about it. And about the friends, I think there are very clear questions you should be able to answer them. If I ask you, how many friends does your children, for example, your child, your son, have? You should have some specific number for it. Or how many close friends? Or let me say, which of these friends are followed by your child? You know, there are always different people around your child and around yourself as well, and some of them are more effective on the future of you, so you try to follow them because you think they have a better position, they are more accepted in the society, they are more strong and more successful, so you always try to be to look like them.
So role models.
Yeah, they are role models for you or your children. And it is the same for your child as well. So you need to know, there are, for example, 20 persons around him as a friends, and there are just 4 or 3 close friends that he shares his secrets with them.
But he admires them in specific.
Yeah. They know everything about their life. They have something in common between just 3 or 4. And what between them, for example, 1 or 2 are more considered as a role models, or are let me say as a more effective friends. So you need to know them, not just them, you need to know them, their family, their background, their interests, their goals, their even their, you can have some thinking about their future, because they will affect. For example, when you see one of your child's friend is a good athlete, it will show many things to you. It will show that your child are interested in a sport. Which sport, for example, football or volleyball or anything else. And it will show that, so you can help them to have such activities in their life. Or you can find, there are some, unfortunately, of his friends, unfortunately, has not good background, family background, for example. So it will be an alarm for you to understand, I should consider it as a real alarm. For example, when you see the friend of your child is smoking, this habit is a wrong habit, but will tell you many things. It is not just a cigarette or a smoking, it can give you some more information. So you need to know them, to know their family, their background, their interests, their goals, and their beliefs as well. In some positions that you see, there are many children that, for example, have nothing in common with your beliefs or there are non-believers or believers, even among the Muslims as well. There are some families or some children who unfortunately don't care enough about the Islam or about the religion or about the beliefs. Mm-hmm. It is really important that you will, your child will be like them because he is in connection with them. Mm-hmm. And if your the friends of your child are not considering Muharram as anything, mm-hmm. they unfortunately even don't know anything about the Muharram. They don't know it started. What does it mean? It means after a few years, your child may look like them, and he may unfortunately happen that not get enough information about the Muharram or pay enough attention about the Muharram or Ramadan or any other Islamic occasions. Mm-hmm. So I think we should be able to answer these questions about the friends, the number of them, who are closest, who are role models, what are their interests, mm-hmm. what are their family background, and who, which of them have the most effective role in this connection and have the most important and strong effects on your child. These can be considered the different effects on your child's future.
Mm-hmm. It's so interesting because the knowledge we think, you know, what is sufficient knowledge, we may take very lightly. We're so nonchalant, perhaps, about our children's relationships with their friends. And we think, oh, it's fine. You know, we think we do know a lot. But as you stated, it seems like we need to know a lot more than we usually do, a lot more than parents usually do.
Yeah, so yeah, and really important that you need to get this information directly. Mm-hmm. We talked about it. You cannot ask, what is his name? Mm-hmm. What is his father? What is the job of his mother? No, it is not right.
So you have to be kind of an...
Yeah, you should make a good environment mm-hmm. and close environment, close relationship with your child. Mm-hmm. And he began to talk about his friends. We went today to the gym and it happens in this way. And you mm-hmm. will understand, oh, so he is a person who tell a lie, for example, mm-hmm. or he is a person who unfortunately doesn't care about the prayer. Mm-hmm. When your child describe for you, today we went to the for example a trip, and there we had in the camp mm-hmm. we had a place to I said my prayer, but my other friend, for example, went just for swimming. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It will say you very so important thing, and you can get every detailed information and mm-hmm. make a complete picture of the friends. Mm-hmm. And when you don't show your direct controlling system toward mm-hmm. him, and you don't ask him about his friends, and here he will be open-minded and he will be talk to you mm-hmm. and you get little by little a complete picture, the every spot of his life. Mm-hmm. For example, when he talks about his, and sometimes you will find that one of his friends try not to give any information about his mm-hmm. family.
That's an alarm.
Yeah, this is an alarm, because mm-hmm. if he is in a normal condition, so he will talk about his dad, mm-hmm. his mother. When he doesn't talk about anything of his family, what does mm-hmm. it mean? It means there is something should be hidden. Mm-hmm. There is something should be covered. Why? Because it is not acceptable by you. Mm-hmm. And after a while, because he is accepted by your child, mm-hmm. he will begin to give some information about his family to your child, mm-hmm. but ask him not to give it to you, because he knows that it is accepted by him but mm-hmm. not accepted by you. And after a while, you will have two different types of values, moral values, mm-hmm. because your child accepts, oh, smoking is not bad, mm-hmm. and my mom also unfortunately doesn't agree mm-hmm. with me. So here we have two type of moral, for example, or social mm-hmm. Activity and social values. You believe on something and your child on other things, and mm-hmm. it happens by this distance between you and your child. Mm-hmm. So we try to know them, and we need to have a flexible friendship and let me say warm condition between you and your child. And after a while, at the same time, you should be aware and to get every information about his friends, mm-hmm. about his interests, and you will make your picture of them. And after that, you will help them to change sometimes his direction mm-hmm. or to change his some of friends, but not directly. That it was mentioned in our last session.
Mm-hmm. So be a, kind of, a sneaky investigator. So get that knowledge, but at the same time, make sure that your child doesn't know that you're trying to get that information from them. Okay. So, we'll get started on this question before we go and listen to our story. Now, in non-Islamic countries, what are the duties of parents about their children's friends in those countries? Conditions may be different.
Yeah, I think it is very important and very different from what we have in Islamic societies. Mm-hmm. Although there is the role of parents in the family the same, if you live in Iran or live in another country or live in non-Muslim country, there is no difference between the parents and the relationship between parents and children. Mm-hmm. But when you go to the non-Muslim countries, the friends are not in your hands. Mm-hmm. And they are, most of time, they have nothing in common with your beliefs. Mm-hmm. Most of them may be, for example, Christians, Jews. Mm-hmm. And you cannot say no. Don't talk to this one, don't talk to that one, and it cannot be happened because he has some friends in the school and they have different beliefs.
It's a multicultural society.
And you cannot take them, for example, and isolate them, just talk to the person who is Muslim, for example. Or even between the Muslims, among the Muslims, we have some people who are Muslims in the name. Mm-hmm. They don't believe the same beliefs or different sects of Muslims that they will meet. So here, I think, is important to make a possibility for them to find and have good friends. Mm-hmm. It is very important. For example, you want to have your daughter to have hijab. Mm-hmm. When you send her to a school that is no Muslim, or all of her friends are non-Muslims, and they cannot understand hijab easily, and sometimes may ask some questions that won't help her to keep her hijab as well. So you need to show her that there are some other possibilities.
Mm-hmm. For her.
Yeah, I had in some of my friends that who lives in United States, and his daughter goes to a school, and there is no other Muslim there, no one. So I asked him to take her to Islamic societies in weekends. In weekends, when this daughter, for example, 9 years old, 8 years old, goes to a mosque, to the activities besides the mosque, to activities in a Muslim society. So she there will see some girls in her age, and many of them have hijab.
People she can relate to.
Yeah, she can find that, oh, it is possible. Even sometimes, I want to emphasize, the child may think it is impossible because here there is no one like me. There is no one wearing hijab. But when she goes to a society, oh, there are five girls in my age and they have hijab. So it is possible for me to wear hijab. It will look much easier for her to have the same conditions. Or sometimes she wants to ask some questions. She cannot ask them from you directly sometimes because she is not so at ease with you to talk about such topics. Or let me say, sometimes she needs to talk about these topics with a person in her age. So she needs, as a necessary need, a friend.
Someone, but, again, that she can relate to.
Yeah, she can too. She needs to have relation with the girl, other girls in her age. She needs to talk with them. She needs to share her idea. For example, she wants to talk about her beliefs. She cannot explain her beliefs to you completely because she knows you know them better than her. But when she talks to another girl in her age, they have talking, they have something in common, or even sometimes the question that she cannot answer. So she will get back to you and ask, she asked me a question. I don't have an answer for her. And this will help. This will help she. So this talking, this relationship, this friendship, I think the most important role and duty for the parents in non-Muslim countries is to make a better conditions, better opportunity for the children to have connection and relation ship with other Muslims mm-hmm. in their age, for example, to go to a camp. Sometimes I advise my friends in non-Muslim countries, for example, in United Kingdom or United States, that make some activities mm-hmm. beside the mosque, beside the Islamic centers, for the children. Just take them to a camp. Take them to some sports. Take them to some, for example, activities, social activities mm-hmm. with each other. Please take them to climbing a mountain, for example. Mm-hmm. And what is the goal of it? It is not just an activity. It is to make opportunity to see other people with the same mm-hmm. beliefs, with the same rituals, with the same lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And after that, you can continue it much easier and you can learn from them. For example, I see this in pilgrimage. We had a young girl, I think she was just 8 or 9, mm-hmm. she memorized a chapter of Holy Quran.
Wow.
She was in United States and there she learned and memorized it by heart, the last chapter of Holy Quran.
Mm-hmm.
And we took her to talk to the people when there was the gathering for the Iranian pilgrims who live abroad, not mm-hmm. in Iran. And we bring her to show it is possible.
Mm-hmm.
And she recited some parts of Holy Quran, some chapters of Holy Quran. It is interesting that when you see such examples, you will believe that it is possible mm-hmm. to have a young girl in United States who memorized last chapter of Holy Quran,
mm-hmm.
who have wearing, for example, the hijab, who keeping enough attention for the saying the prayer. So I think the most important role and most important duty is to make conditions possible and to make some fortune for the children to having connection with good Muslim believers, to have them as a friends and to choose them as a friends or at least as a persons who can have the same conditions to believe the possibility of life, Islamic lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, wonderful. That's for those people in non-Islamic countries. Let's go and listen to our story together, and of course, we'll be back with more.
At the time of the Prophet, peace be upon him, Muslims gained some properties. The Prophet divided those properties among Muslims fairly. One of the Prophet's close friends, who expected to receive more, said, "That kind of dividing wouldn't satisfy God." Another man informed the Prophet about what his close friend had said. The Prophet was so sad that his face turned red. He said, "May God bless my brother Moses, the son of Imran." He was annoyed more than this, but he was patient. The Prophet then told his friends, You must not blab about any of your friends, because I'd like to live while my heart is free of any irritation of my friends and followers. In this way, he taught Muslims how to live happily with each other, which can be realized with kind and tender hearts.
Welcome back. Well, we apologize for the technical difficulties, but we're back, and we want to continue to speak about children. And this time we want to know, so before the break, we spoke about people in Islamic, non-Islamic countries, yeah. And how they can basically build a small Muslim community within that non-Muslim country, so that their children can relate to other people, other Muslim families, and children their age who are Muslims and do celebrate Islamic celebrations and the commemorations and so on. And so what we want to know now, since we're in Muharram, we want to know, can we use these events and occasions and relate that to the upbringing of our children?
Surely, I think it is the best fortune to have such a community. For example, when you talk about the minorities, the people, Muslims in non-Muslim countries, mm-hmm. yeah, here you need to have such a fortunes, mm-hmm. and it will help you. For example, it is Muharram, and sometimes it happens in a family, unfortunately, they don't know, they don't notice that it is Muharram. Mm-hmm. I had an experience in Germany that one lady, I think 10 or 15 days after Ramadan, mm-hmm. called one of my friends and asked, I heard that there is Ramadan in these days. How long is there to Ramadan? And he answered, just 10 and a half months. She said, no, it is near. I heard near. And she said, no, it is just 15 years before this we had Ramadan. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Ramadan came, left, finished, and she unfortunately didn't notice it is Ramadan. Mm-hmm. It happens in some other families as well.
I think she was probably going by the calendar, right? By not by the
yeah,
calendar.
Yeah, because she
by...
unfortunately doesn't care about it. Mm-hmm. I know, but it, sometimes it happens because we always... Or Muharram, for example. Even in some Muslim countries, when they are not Shia, mm-hmm. sometimes they don't have anything about the Muharram in a special, mm-hmm. as a, some special... Islamic occasion, so they you are there and you don't notice, oh, it is Muharram. Mm-hmm. But when we want to have Islamic education, Islamic training, we need to have such a fortunes. Mm-hmm. For, and we need to show it. And we have in our narration that be happy when we are happy, mm-hmm. our Imam says, and be sad when we are sad. To show our sadness, we need to have something in our appearance, mm-hmm. it is clear, it is, I want to say, declare that I'm sad. Why? Mm-hmm. Because this occasion is Muharram. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy because this is the Eid, for example, mm-hmm. the celebration. So here, I think this occasion should be used by parents. Mm-hmm. Why? When you say it is Muharram, so there is the first question, what is Muharram? Mm-hmm. What is it important for? And here you have occasion for teaching. So you will have some fortune to teach your children. This opportunity will help you because he will ask you, she will ask you, what is Muharram? Who was Imam Hussein? Who was Ali Asghar? And you have some opportunity to explain about them. So I think it is opportunity to teach. The second, it is opportunity to make and let me say to make something alive in the heart. For example, we love Imam Hussein. How you know I love Imam Hussein or not? By some appearance in my activities, in my life. When it is Ashura, I wear a black shirt. What does it mean? It means I want to say I'm sad. So if you want to have this feeling conveyed to your child, you need to help him or her to have such a feeling. You need to have such appearance, such a changes in daily life. In daily life we have some type of clothes, but today I have another type of clothes.
So
I
bring
change
things out of the norm to
yeah,
show that there
it will
is a difference.
Give them some opportunity. Today is something else. It is not the day like tomorrow or yesterday. It is some special day. And here you will have this type of feeling in common, and she will learn or he will learn that today is some special day, and it will help him or her to have the feeling. And sometimes you need to have some gathering in these days. It is another occasion for you. For example, this is Muharram, and in the, for example, weekend, we have some gathering to offer our condolence for Muharram, or we have some majlis or gathering for Imam Hussein. We want to hear some talking about the lessons of Muharram, lessons of Ashura and such things. Here we have this gathering in weekend. What is the benefit of it? The one benefit that it will teach my children that there are some other people who have the same beliefs. And here, so I think these occasions can help them to have more knowledge, more deep feelings toward the Imam, toward the Islamic values. It will help them to meet some other people who share the same beliefs. And the last one that I want to emphasize on it, I think it is important, that here every minority needs to have something special for him. And after that, it will help them to have a much stronger relationship with each other, to make a society. Although we have many things in common with others, we have many relations with others, we live with them, but we have something specifically for ourselves. For example, we have the same beliefs, we have the same feelings, we have the same lifestyle. This lifestyle, I think, has the most important role in making up a society, a minority. When, for example, you enter a school, you see there are 400 children there, but four of them wearing black shirts because it is Muharram. What does it mean? It will offer you that these are Muslims, these are Shia, these have something in common, some beliefs, some feelings, some lifestyle. But if you wear like them, the other people, if you act like other people, if you have nothing specific in your lifestyle, so you will be considered one of them, because the feeling, the belief should be appear in your actions, in your life, in your wearing, in your talking. When I begin, I say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. When I begin, I say, Salaamu alaikum. Even these words, even these words can offer you, I have something specific. But if I talk like the others, if I wear like the others, if I have a lifestyle like the others in every aspect, so what is the specific thing that you have? How can I understand that you have such a deep feeling toward the Imam Hussein? When you don't care, you have nothing appeared in
yourself.
You need. So I think in these occasions, we need to have such a specific actions, rituals, even some appearance changes in your appearance to make this minority as a society with the same in common beliefs, actions, rituals, and so. So such a times, occasions like Muharram, like Ramadan, and some other, even some celebrations as well, all of them, mm-hmm. in happiness or sadness, all of them can help us to have this fortune to teach our children many things and to give them such a feelings and such a beliefs.
Mm-hmm. I think it's really important, like you said, because especially in a society where you are a minority,
yeah.
for children especially, because they feel ostracized, then if they have that sense of community, they feel like they belong, then they can accept and embrace their beliefs and, like you said, put it into practice and differentiate themselves from people in society and truly feel and show it in their action as well. So yeah. that's definitely important for all those parents. We will go for a break, and when we come back, it's time for From Here and There. Welcome back. Well, now it's time for From Here and There with my colleague, Mahdi Golzadeh. Usually he has interesting stuff for us. I think today he'll tie in a bit about children, I believe. Mr. Golzadeh, over to you. Let's see what you have for us today.
Thank you, Mrs. Harju. Well, since today's topic is about kids, I found a couple of useful things for kids as well. Well, hello, dear viewers. Welcome to this part of the program, From Here and There. We know that you've heard a million times to keep your kids' sleep routine consistent, but here's a million and one. Keep your kids' sleep routine consistent. Make sure your kid goes to bed at the same time every night and has a soothing routine that gets him to that state. Now, partake. We know that you've heard that a warm glass of milk packs a sleep-inducing punch, but did you know that bananas, turkey, peanuts, and yogurt are also loaded with sleep-triggering ingredients? Serve up a small snack about 30 minutes before bed, and your kid will be sleepy and full at bedtime. Now, alleviate. Help your kid relax by adding some calming lavender scent to his bath. This stuff can be shared with his tired, stressed parents, too. Manipulate. Add a relaxing foot massage to your kid's bedtime routine or a back scratch, arm tickle, head rub, whichever parent pampering technique makes his eyes droop. Now, sedate. Warm, cozy feet are a natural human sedative, so layer on the fuzzy socks, bunny slippers, and footed blanket sleepers when suiting up the kids in their pajamas. Well, still continuing with that, elongate. Do some gentle stretching with your kid. Be sure not to get her wound up and crazy right before bedtime. A few gentle stretches and poses may help your kid unwind and relax her tired muscles. Also, music. Even if she's begging for pop music, soothing instrumental music like opera, jazz, classical, and new age is known for its soothing and calming qualities. Narrate. Instead of reading your kids a story, tell them a story once they are in bed with the lights off. Have them lounge back, close their eyes, and relax as they listen. They just might fall asleep before you finish. Illuminate. Get a nightlight. We know it doesn't seem kind of right to light up a room to help your kids sleep, but a dim light can do wonders at keeping the monsters at bay and keeping the calls for mummy to a minimum. And don't hydrate. Limit your kids' liquid consumption before bed, especially of any drinks with caffeine. That's especially coffee, which you shouldn't give kids anyway, and also it's Coca-Cola or other drinks. This way, once he is asleep, he'll stay asleep and won't get you up, needing a bathroom in the middle of the night. Still staying with kids, reading is also important. So here's a few tried and true guidelines on how to motivate kids to read. Let kids pick their own books. It's almost a sure thing they'll want to read them. If you pick them out, they won't. Set goals and reward reading. Reward reading with more reading. Stop by the library or bookstore for the next book in your child's favorite series, or let your child shop for it online. Let your kids see that you read as well. Read the newspaper over your morning coffee. Take a magazine from the rack in a doctor's office while you wait. Your kids will catch on to the fact that reading is something you like to do in your spare time. Make reading together fun and memorable. Parents can convey important positive impressions about reading by making reading an experience their children will remember and cherish. It's not what you read to your child that counts, it's how you read it. Make a story come alive by changing your voice and pace or using sound effects and motions. Create loving associations with books and reading. Reading together.